Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Sarah Ockwell-Smith on today. She's the mother of four children and a highly regarded parenting expert whose work and expertise has been featured in major media, including BBC News Magazine, WebMD, BuzzFeed, as well as national television and radio. She has a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology and has also undertaken training in hypnotherapy and psychotherapy. She's a member of the British Sleep Society. She specializes in gentle parenting methods as well as the science of psychology around parenting. She is co-founder of the Gentle Parenting website. We have Sarah on today. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for speaking to me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. So, you're the mother of four. Why do children misbehave?
It's a very small question for a very large answer, but when I was writing the book, my aim was to help parents to have more empathy and compassion for their children. So in our society today, we seem to have fallen into the trap of thinking children misbehave because they enjoy misbehaving, because they somehow get something from it, or because they're being manipulative. And most of our discipline methods today focus on punishing the children for their wrongdoing, or kind of treating them or rewarding them for doing better. But actually, what I talk about in this book is that most children misbehave because they can't behave any better and because they're not feeling good.
And how would you define gentle discipline?
So it comes back to why they're misbehaving. So if we punish them or shame them, we're believing that they're being manipulative or that they're deliberately misbehaving for some sort of Machiavellian reason. But gentle discipline simply focuses on the reasons behind their behavior, teaching them, because that is all discipline is. It's about teaching them to deal with their problems and to behave better. It's very, very modern. It's very scientific. It's based on sort of the most up-to-date research, whereas a lot of discipline that involves shaming or punishing or rewarding is actually very outdated. The evidence doesn't back it up. It's what we've been doing for over 100 years or so.
Okay, Sarah. What are some of the popular discipline methods in education and childcare today that you feel aren't quite gentle?
So the most common one that I talk about in the book that isn't very gentle, that isn't evidence-based, is something like timeout. So if a kid's misbehaving, whether that's at home or whether that's at school, the idea with timeout is to remove them from the situation, make them sit by themselves and think about what they've done wrong, works a little bit on alienating them from their peers or from their family. The problem with timeout is that a lot of kids are misbehaving because they're not getting enough positive attention because they don't have a good connection with their caregiver. Mm-hmm. Now, it makes absolutely no sense for a child who's desperate for some positive attention to punish them by saying, here you go, I'm going to remove you and create even more of a disconnect. So you're adding to the problem, not solving the problem. But the other really big issue with timeout is it presumes that the child has the cognitive, the brain ability to really think about what they've done, to think about what they might do better next time and control their emotions. And we know from brain science that actually kids that are most commonly using timeout, they just can't do that. Their brain is not developed enough. All they do is sit there and at best learn, if I sit here quietly, I get let out quicker. But there's no deeper learning, so it's poor discipline.
Yeah. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about how a child's brain develops and what they can handle and at what age?
Yeah, so this is a fascinating thing. In neuroscience, we used to think that the brain stopped developing at about the age of 11 or 12. But actually now we know that the brain really doesn't finish maturing until the mid-20s, so maybe about 25 years of age. So the most common things that take a long time to develop are skills that we use in interacting socially. So things like empathy, sharing, really understanding how somebody else is thinking and feeling. You wouldn't really expect a child to have a good level of those until somewhere between 4 and 7. So, for instance, punishing a 2 or 3-year-old because they're not sharing is basically punishing them because their brain's not developed enough. The next thing that starts to develop between about the ages of 7 and 11, we're looking at things like controlling impulses a little bit more. We're looking at being able to understand the effects of our actions in the future, something we call hypothetical thinking. That doesn't really kick in until about the ages of 11, so a lot later than I think many would believe. But the really last thing that kicks in the late teens, early 20s, is this idea of being able to control our emotions and being able to control our behaviour and putting a lid on it, you might say. So thinking, this is inappropriate, I can't do this. That's the very last thing that develops. So if you think about a toddler having a tantrum, they're simply having a tantrum because they can't do anything better. Their brain can't control their impulses. Their brain can't control their emotions. They are pretty helpless. So it doesn't make any sense to punish them for having a tantrum because that's all they can do at that age.
Is a tantrum not fairly healthy, too, just to get it out how you feel?
Yeah, so, you know, tantrums, if you're talking toddlers or even a 10-year-old, they're basically just lots of big emotions bubbling away. But as adults, we could work through those. We could do some breathing, a bit of mindfulness. We could talk to somebody about them to release them. But a 3-year-old isn't capable of that. So, yeah, as you say, much better actually for them to get those emotions out in a safe way where we're perhaps at home away from people staring and where they're safe and everybody else is safe and allow them to release their emotions. If we put them in something like timeout, what we're doing is teaching them to suppress these, keep them all inside, which if you continually do that throughout childhood, you either cause the child to be more likely to retain their feelings. So all of these negative emotions are more likely to go inwards, and that's where you see higher incidences of things like eating disorders or depression or self-harm. Or sometimes they may start to externalize these feelings in the teenage years, and that's where you might see something like violence or bullying. So, it's not nice for the parents, for the toddlers to let it all out, but actually for the toddlers it's really healthy.
Okay, good, good. So if you're in a group, let's say childcare of, 3 to 5 year olds, and somebody's having a little meltdown, what's the gentlest way to handle it?
So I use an acronym called SENSE, so making sense of tension. So the S stands for safety. You know, safety is paramount. It's no good being gentle or whatever if your kid's about to run into a road or bash another child over the head with something and hurt them. You've got to keep your child, other children, things safe. So safety is really important. Next thing you do is for the E, that's empathize. Try to put yourself in a kid's shoes. Realize they're not doing this deliberately to wind you up. Understand they're not feeling good either. The next thing you're going to do is name their emotions. So you might say something like, I can see you're really angry. This really helps because the child feels heard, but also it's a really good way to teach them the names of emotions so that next time, or maybe in 100 times, they might say, Mom, I'm feeling angry. Mm-hmm. Next thing you're going to do is the S, and that's support. Now, support doesn't necessarily mean give them a hug, because actually if you hug a 3-year-old who's mad, that's not going to end well. So the support might just be saying, you know what, I'm big enough and I'm old enough and I'm okay to stay here and wait for you. I can hold this space for you. The last letter is E, which means exchange, and that's about kind of cheering things up when it's over. So once you've done the supporting, once you've allowed them to release their emotions, you might say something like, hey, should we go and play with this toy? Just try to sort of lighten things up and reconnect them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst all of it, just try to really focus on your child. Try to do lots of deep breathing yourself and try not to worry about what other people think.
So this would work with spouses too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah. So there's so many different ways to handle children, and there's been a lot of change in attitude over the last generation. It's been huge. Do you see a huge change happening? I guess you're in Britain, but do you see a huge change happening in all the schools and everything?
I don't, to be honest with you, no. I can see the start of a shift happening. I don't think there's been as much positive change as I perhaps would like to believe or you would like to believe.
Yeah.
So we know around the world, you know, particularly UK, America, Canada, Australia, 70 to 80% of parents still spank their kids. You know, that's a lot of parents still hitting children to discipline them. I would like to believe we're at the start of a paradigm shift. So the start of a change in thinking that maybe in about 10 or 20 years' time, then certainly this many more people will be practicing more gentle discipline. I don't think we're quite there yet, but there's definitely an increase in interest there. And I think that absolutely is down to all of the science. You know, 50 years ago, we didn't have all of this evidence base that we do now. And it takes time for evidence to filter through to practice.
Right.
So hopefully, 15, 20 years, maybe there'll be a big shift.
Maybe. Now, you have four children that you are actively disciplining in a gentle way, the way you've written. So do they discipline each other that way too?
Each other?
They must have seen the sense in how they were treated compassionately when they were angry or they're upset. Do you see them acting in the same way towards each other?
Yeah, what I don't want to come across is people thinking that I'm perfect and my kids are perfect.
No.
So my kids still fight sometimes. There's still sibling rivalry. As you'd imagine, I've got four kids between 10 and 16. They're all very close in age. But sometimes, sometimes there are glimmers of hope when they will go over and they'll put their arm around each other and they'll say, come on, calm down, you'll be okay. So, yeah, those sort of glimmers are really, really great for the hard work that you put in. But definitely you do see yourself being reflected in their behaviour. So whether that's the good or whether that's the bad, they show you what you do and what you say.
Absolutely.
By the way they behave.
Yeah. So what's an example of a more traditional discipline technique that backfires with parents? Like, you know, there's a lot of that... The kind of traditional discipline where it's, I'm right, you're wrong, this is not, we're not going to discuss it. How do you see that backfiring?
Well, I think if you're kind of parenting by fear, almost, that might work if you have a small child and a child who's much smaller than you physically. But that sort of dominating approach only works whilst you can dominate the child. So if you have a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old who is, you know, my teenagers are bigger than me now, they're not scared of me, I'm much smaller than them. They all laugh about how small I am in comparison. That doesn't work anymore because they're not scared of you. So, you know, we have to think about what we're doing with a child who's young, 2, 3, 4, 5, if it's going to be effective long term. And actually almost most of the common discipline techniques that are used in toddlerhood and early childhood become completely ineffective when you have teenagers. And I think that's why teenagers have such a bad reputation, because we don't really know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And actually, you know, I love having teenagers. I find them really easy. Well, not really easy, maybe a bit easy, because I'm hoping that because of what I put in place when they were younger.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue to discuss gentle parenting.